Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Adding insult to injury over the coronavirus outbreak, all of our health insurance premiums likely to be going up over the next year. We're talking with two experts on this rather frustrating issue. Lonnie Chen directs domestic policy studies at Stanford's Hoover Institution. He was the policy director for the Romney-Ryan presidential campaign in 2012. John McDonough is a public health professor at Harvard's Chan School of Public Health, and he played major roles in helping to write and pass Massachusetts' health care reform law. That was in 2006, as well as the Affordable Care Act in 2010. Thank you for joining us, both of you. So, Lonnie, let's start with you. Insurance rates, how likely are they to go up and go up considerably because of this coronavirus pandemic?
Well, it's certainly possible if the experience of enough individuals such that you've got high expenses, for example, around hospitalization. I mean, you think, for example, about how much it costs to hospitalize someone, for example, a coronavirus patient that has to be ventilated for a period of time, that has to go through critical care in the critical care unit. This is not a cheap proposition, inpatient hospitalization being the single biggest cost in our healthcare system. So it's entirely possible that if you have enough of these experiences, you could see overall premiums rise. Now, bear in mind, the Affordable Care Act does limit the kind of variance permitted in insurance premiums. So it's not like someone could pay more just because they were in the hospital for coronavirus. But if there's enough overall experience that raises the cost overall, you could see those premiums go up to compensate.
Right. And it's not just as you have to take the test and maybe you go and get checked out. Like you were mentioning, if you have to go, you're going to go for an extended period of time. I mean, this is a week, or I guess the average is up to at least over 10 days. People who are really, really sick in the hospital, that's how long they spend there.
Yeah. I mean, you're seeing the courses of hospitalization are generally not short, nor are the interventions for a lot of people. They're finding a lot of these interventions to be pretty significant interventions. So if you're spending, let's say, a week in the critical care unit, that's not a cheap proposition at all.
John, help me out on this one, though. If a lot of people, as I understand they are postponing non-critical surgeries because hospitals aren't doing them, their doctors aren't doing them, doesn't it in the end kind of come out in the wash because insurance companies presumably over the course of many months will not be shelling out as much money to pay for those procedures? Yes, they're paying perhaps for the coronavirus ones, but doesn't it kind of balance?
Well, we don't know. There's a lot of uncertainty here. There's a new report that just came out the other day from Covered California that is the source of a lot of this dialogue that's going on right now. They estimate one-year costs in a range of $34 to $251 billion. That's the range. And so it could be anywhere in that range. It could be even more or less than that because we don't know what's coming at us. But it is a legitimate concern because when insurers were putting together their premium rates for 2020, nobody was factoring this in at all. And this is a cataclysmic event in so many ways, and including on the finances of the healthcare system. So, you know, the saying around public health and around this virus is prepare for the worst and hope for the best. I think in terms of the potential impacts financially, it may be the same thing. It's hope for the best and prepare for the worst.
So is that the answer? Is there nothing that can be done? We just kind of have to hope at this point?
Oh, no, absolutely. There's things that could be done. And I think if Congress is looking at a fourth piece of legislation in terms of dealing with this crisis, this very much needs to be part of the effort. Some temporary federal program to cover some of the extreme high-level costs, perhaps a reinsurance program or something like that that insurers use to try to flatten out disparities. There are a number of things that can be done. And unlike getting ready for the virus, the important thing to do is probably to get ready for this earlier rather than later when it'll be tougher to fix.
Lonnie, the National Health Service in the UK came out of the ashes of World War II and the recognition that people there needed universal health care coverage. I'm wondering if this, I think John was just mentioning, used the word cataclysmic event. Is this enough of a cataclysmic event that it may bring the U.S. Into that sphere of having whatever you want to call it, government-directed health insurance, socialized health insurance, whatever name you want to give it, because private insurance won't be able to keep up with this?
No, I don't think so, for a few reasons. First of all, there is an ethos that's developed in the U.S. around our relatively more private healthcare system. I think people generally, value the system, warts and all. What I'd say is that I do think also people generally like the coverage they have, which is why when you saw the debate, the burgeoning debate over Medicare for All over these last several months in the Democratic presidential primary, whenever people were confronted with the specter of losing the coverage that they currently have, it caused candidates to back away from more aggressive formulations of Medicare for All. Now, that having been said, I do think you are going to see more momentum around greater federal government involvement in the healthcare system, whether that comes in the form of creating some kind of public option, as Joe Biden has proposed, or just a bolstering of the Affordable Care Act. I do think that there will be some political momentum around those types of policy formulations going forward.
The second part of that, the bolstering of the Affordable Care Act, how much is that being talked about in terms of how much it used to be talked about, which is let's dismantle it, at least in the view of some Republicans?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the throw weight of the argument has certainly changed, over these last several months and certainly over the last year. I do think there's a lot of conversation about issues of affordability, for example, how we might ensure that the coverage can be retained by those who are in the low income, working poor category, or those who are gig workers and that workers in the gig economy. Those are all the sorts of issues that are being talked about now. But I do think that the conversation has definitely recentered itself. Certainly the COVID-19 crisis has only brought, as I said, the throwaway to the conversation to a different place.
John, we've seen airlines asking for and getting a bailout. We've seen other companies like Boeing doing the same. If the high end of the expenditure effort comes to pass in this country, that many billions spent to care for COVID-19 patients and treatments, are the insurance companies, the large ones, capitalized well enough to survive, or are they going to need a bailout?
If it's on the high end, then they are not capitalized well enough to manage something like this, and there's going to be a need for something to happen that tries to moderate the impact on people who buy coverage individually and very much on employers who buy coverage for their workers. There's got to be some kind of leveling here, or else the disruptive impact would be enormous, and we'd see then another crisis in terms of lots of employers just giving up offering insurance to their workers.
John McDonough, public health professor at Harvard's Chan School of Public Health, played major roles in helping to write and pass Massachusetts health care reform law in 2006, the Affordable Care Act in 2010. Also, we heard from Lonnie Chen, directs domestic policy at studies at Stanford's Hoover Institution, policy director for the Romney-Ryan presidential campaign in 2012.